They're Terrified and Tipsy is brought to you by Slash and Cast.
Doesn't know about Thursday, whatever.
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess there's no body to deal with here.
Stephanie, how's it going?
I'm doing very, very good.
Good.
Yes, I am.
We've had an eventful evening so far.
We have.
Mm-hmm.
We went Instagram Live.
We did.
Yeah, for like almost a half an hour.
That was our first time.
Yeah.
We are Instagram Live virgins until today.
We did it live before.
On YouTube.
It was on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. This time we had people listening.
We actually like did our due diligence and had people like know that we're going to be online.
Yeah. The YouTube one we did was like really impromptu. We were like,
trying to figure it out.
Guess we're going to go live. Yeah. And that was it. And it was just us just listening to Nelly. And that's all it was.
Well, I do love some Nelly.
I know you do.
I do love Nelly.
But this one was fun.
Yeah, then no, it was fun. Mm-hmm. We were talking about our promo that we have going on.
For our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
For the 100 subscribers. Mm-hmm. And the... how you can win a Funko Pop if your name is called.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
I think so.
Uh-huh. People learned a lot about us.
Especially me. I feel like there was kind of a therapy session that was starting, but I kind of declined it.
You did,
I
yes.
I guess, yeah.
I offered my not expertise opinion.
I feel like you've known me long enough that you can probably give some kind of, you know...
advice a little bit, but maybe not on like a mental health topic.
Oh, no.
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 I people need to speak to a professional for that.
No. But if I said something that was very off color or just not right, you would probably say, Courtney, what's going on?
I would make clarity of it.
You would say, you would sense the red flags.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, this is what she meant. What she meant was.
But yeah, no, we had a good time.
Uh-huh, it was fun. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was good.
We may do it again. We'll see.
I know. And when we get to 100, we will.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got to call some names out.
Mm-hmm. So if you haven't gotten onto YouTube, our YouTube channel, and subscribed, you need to get on there now.
Yeah. This is not a drill.
No.
Subscribe. It's free. It's so easy. You just click a button. It doesn't cost you anything. It's just so easy. You go on YouTube and you go to their Terrified and Tipsy.
Yeah.
You search it and then our stuff comes up and you click on it and you just press subscribe.
That's all you got to do.
Nothing else happens. That's it.
That's it.
And you know what happens then? The good thing? You can possibly win a Funko Pop.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I love that.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, we have our own Funko Pop.
We do.
With Funko Pops.
And
I'm
we
sorry.
Have two that are appropriate for our episode today.
Oh my God, they are.
Right? We have three Funko Pops. We have Gizmo from Gremlins.
Of course, because he's adorable.
God, I love Gizmo.
I know.
If Gizmos were real, I would want one.
I mean, the little sound Mogwai. That he makes.
Oh,
he's so sweet.
He's
and
he so
sings.
Cute.
Oh, I love that.
He's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Looks all snuggly. Mm-hmm. But we watched Addams Family Values this week.
Yeah.
And we have two Funko Pops that are appropriate for this video.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Wednesday and we've got Pugsley.
Pugsley.
Yeah.
And Wednesday, we actually won from a contest from our friends at FNBN Podcast.
Yeah, we did.
So that was our first Funko Pop in our studio.
So you know what? We're starting our own little...
collection.
Hoardings.
Yeah.
Collection.
Hoarding. Okay. Well, it kind of may be hoarding because we had Wednesday. And then when we started getting the Funko Pops for this YouTube thing that we're doing, we were like, well, we need a Pugsley because we have Wednesday.
Right.
And then we saw the Gremlins and we were like literally the whole Gizmo thing.
We need
like,
that too.
We need Gizmo. So it might turn into a hoarding thing, I think.
Yeah. They're pretty cute.
I think they're very cute.
Because I didn't know anything about them until recently.
I mean, oh, and they're super popular. A lot of people do like the unboxing of them and stuff on Instagram.
And I watch all of them.
Me too.
I don't even know anything about them.
I don't know why I'm so invested on which one they're getting.
I don't know.
Like our podcast friend, Talkin' Shiz, they do like an unboxing video on their Instagram. And I am, for whatever reason, like, well, I wonder which one they got.
I know.
I watched the whole video.
I know. I do too.
I become invested. So, yeah, we watched Addams Family Values.
Uh-huh.
And what were your thoughts on it?
Well,
we've
both
seen it before.
We have seen it before,
obviously. Came in 93 for shit's sake. So, yeah, we've seen it before.
For shit's sakes. For shit's sakes, guys.
For fuck's sake. It was better than what I usually say, so.
I know. That's what threw me off.
I know. You're like, is she kind of censoring herself? What's happening?
Stephanie, blink twice if you need help.
So what were your thoughts on Addams Family Values?
Okay. So, I mean, obviously we've watched this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in general, I'd like this movie.
Of course.
It's an easy watch.
It's hard not to like.
Right. Now, it's not scary, so yeah. That really upsets me.
For sure.
Because you're not going to be afraid.
Did you feel like you were wasting your time watching it?
Yeah.
And then talking about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
I've found these past couple weeks to be like a breath of fresh air, which scares me for our next upcoming ones in the future, because I know that I'm having a little bit of an easy ride these past couple weeks. And then I know probably come like December-ish time.
Uh-huh.
I think our one for next week is not crazy either. But I
Who is making these lists? Because
Dustin.
I'm going to have to speak with him.
But I think there's a handful in a row that are going to be, they're going to be good.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but that's in December. Like, we have another couple of weeks before we get into them?
Yeah, because I think next week's one isn't scary. And then, well, actually, I don't know. I've never seen it, but it sounds stupid. And then...
It can't be as bad as Chopping Mall.
I think it might be.
Oh, dear God.
But then after that, it sounds back to scary again. Okay. So, you know, we shall... Yeah, it does. So, we'll see.
Okay, well...
We'll see. But Adam's Family Values.
Adam's Family Values. It's a good movie.
Entertaining. A little racy.
So when I watched it as a child,
uh-huh.
I got a whole different, like,
100%
feeling about the entire thing.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now watching it in my 30s, I was like, oh, okay. That's incredibly racist. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
They're like, how did I miss that before?
I know. And I'm like, the 90s, man.
I know. You know? Anything went.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even like the 80s, especially, oh, my God, the 60s and the 70s. No one gave a fuck.
You know what? We've come a long way.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
Baby steps. We're definitely better off than we were.
Lots of baby steps.
Early 90s, I was like, ooh, okay. But of course, it was an entertaining movie. Yeah. The movie genuinely had like random one-liners that I like thoroughly enjoyed. And I love Wednesdays.
I mean, yes. She has like every 5 seconds, she's got something to say.
She's got a really funny one when they first get to summer camp that I loved as well.
I'm pretty sure I have the same thing. Yeah.
So I have like a bunch of like random quotes in my notes because it just was one-liners that I was like, oh, that's really funny. And they're just so like nonchalant too, because like the whole family is like she's kind of emotionless. Yeah. And they just like say things as matter of fact and just keep going with it. And I'm like, wait, what? It's just funny. It's entertaining for sure.
I love it, especially coming from a kid.
Yes.
I mean, it just makes it a whole nother realm.
Absolutely. All right. Before we hop in, couple reminders.
What are they?
TipsyPod.com. Guys, obviously, everything you need to know about our podcast on TipsyPod.com.
Yeah, it is. What can they find on there, Stephanie?
Oh, we got so much to tell you. Okay, so much stuff. All of our social media is on there. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. 4 for 5. I love it.
I know. Well, it's because I miss the first one. You do it so quick.
Rapid fire. So you can find all of our social media on there. You can follow. You can subscribe to our YouTube, which you should be doing. You can rate and review 5 stars.
Yes, please.
I mean, I think we're pretty fantastic. I think so. I'd give us 5 stars.
Of course I would. I would as well.
You can also find ways to support our show. You can get yourself some Tipsy Pod merch. Get yourself a cool ass shirt. We always have different designs coming out.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to get a shirt, cool. Get a stemless wine glass.
Oh, wow. We got real excited about that.
Because we're using our stemless wine glasses today. And I don't feel like we talk about them enough. No. They're pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, I do love mine. They are handmade, guys.
I was just going to say, they're custom made with love as well.
Aw. Mm-hmm. And that just makes it even better.
So just know, if you buy one of our stemless wine glasses, that we are literally making it for you. We're not ordering it from a website.
No.
You're ordering it from us directly, and we're making it for you. We package it up with a little bubble wrap, write you a cute little love note, send it out to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So cute.
Right?
Aren't we precious?
So specialized. It's very cute. And also our Patreon.
Patreon.
Guys, there's 3 different tiers. You pick the one that works the best for you. They all help support our show, and we love that about you.
Mm-hmm.
But you get ad-free episodes. You get episodes on Tuesdays instead of Wednesdays. You also get to vote on what kind of movies we want. You make suggestions, and then you vote on which ones you want us to watch. And if we watch that one, it's a Patreon pick, and we'll give you a major shout-out.
Is that what's happening right now with the non-scary ones? Is that what's happening? Do I have a discussion with our patrons?
Adam's Family is not a Patreon pick.
Okay.
But Chopping Mall was.
Jason,
I love it. Thank you. All right, should we hop in?
Absolutely.
Would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Of course.
The Addams family try to rescue their beloved Uncle Fester from his gold-digging new love, a black widow named Debbie.
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 It's incredibly accurate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just silly. I love it.
Debbie, she's just so over the top. Do they not see it?
I mean, I have a lot of weird thoughts about it when we first meet Debbie, so we'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Okay. All right. So we start the movie. We have some howling from Fester. He's standing on the roof.
I said, I'm like, Uncle Fester howling at the moon?
Oh, he's howling.
Howling, question mark,
question
mark?
And he's getting a response.
Yeah.
From other wolves.
Maybe animals thought he was dying.
They're like, howl again if you need help. Howl again. Do it again. And he does. He keeps doing it.
It's an awkward howl. Yeah.
And I also noticed how big the moon was. Did you notice how big it was?
It was gigantic.
It was huge.
Yeah.
That made me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Just that?
Well, it's just the beginning of the movie.
Just the start. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then we also see Wednesday, Grandmama, is that what her name is? Grandmama?
Yeah, I just called her Grandma.
Okay, I call her Grandmama. That's what they called her, I think. Whatever, it doesn't matter. And Pugsley, they are burying what I would presume normally as a dead animal or something.
Yeah, it's like in a shoebox.
And they're burying it. But no, it's a very alive cat.
Sure is. Because Wednesday, like, shakes the box, telling it basically to shut up.
Yeah, it's meowing and it's not happy.
No. Poor kitty.
Poor kitty. Then they kind of like pound with a shovel on the top of the dirt. It's great.
Yeah, they really buried it.
Yeah, they sure did.
Okay.
Okay, so now inside the house, we have Lurch, who's playing the organ.
Yeah.
While Morticia is knitting.
Yeah.
And Gomez is having a wrestling match with Thing.
Yeah, so him and Thing are arm wrestling, and I'm like, but Thing's only a hand, so how are they...
How does he have any, like...
Where is he getting, like, that pivoting and that strength? He's just a hand. Okay. Logistics don't make sense. It's fine. That's not important.
It's not important.
No.
He's got moves that you've never seen.
Apparently. It's quite the hand, I think.
It's very handsy. Oh, man.
But it seems like he was winning the arm wrestling.
Yeah, he was.
Which was... He can do magic with his hands, I guess. I don't know.
He's got magical hands. This could go really bad. Okay, moving on. So,
and we're just getting started.
So Morticia says for the first time that she is pregnant and then she's going into labor.
Yeah.
Like right now.
She's like.
Because everybody seems surprised that she was even like saying that she was pregnant.
Yeah, and in just such a monotone because she's got no emotions. No. She's like knitting and turns to Gomez and she's like, I'm having a baby right now. Oh, okay.
Oh, so we're gonna go to the hospital?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. So now we're in the waiting room, and Wednesday and Pugsley are listening to a version of how babies are made from another little girl that's sitting with them.
Yeah.
Not a part of their family, just
just like a fairy tale version of where babies come from.
It was like about a diamond and a stork and a cabbage patch leaf, and then it like unicorn and rainbow story.
It took a weird turn.
It really did. And then when she finished, the camera zooms in on Wednesday's face, and she said, my parents had sex. I was like, yes.
Sure did.
Matter of fact, I love it. So as the rest of the family is waiting to hear the news about whether this is a boy or a girl, Gomez comes out and says,
it's an Adams.
Did I do it right?
Yes.
Okay.
But before he says that, one of my first favorite lines in the movie is, I guess Morticia's like trying to deliver the baby and... She's apparently in pain, but she's loving it. She has no emotion at all.
Right.
And the doctor has to use forceps. Okay.
Yeah.
And then he asks Morticia if she needs anesthesia, and she goes,
no, thank you. But do ask the children.
I, like, openly laughed when I heard it because she's just so, like, matter of fact, monotone, no emotion. It was so funny.
Yeah, just go ask the children. See if they want any. I don't need any.
But ask the children. And then Gomez is announcing, it's an Adams.
It's an Adams.
And then we have intro music.
All right. So now the iconic music starts. Mm-hmm. We do the Adams family.
Da-na-na-na.
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 Da-na-na-na. Okay. So back at the house, Thing is playing on a roller skate. And he runs over to Morticia and Gomez, who have the baby. They've just gotten home from the hospital. Uh-huh. And Gomez takes Morticia into the baby's new nursery that apparently he had set up for her.
It's creepy.
Painted on the walls, there are like sharks eating sharks, a dying lamb that's about to be eaten by vultures.
Yeah.
And then like a crib mobile that was made out of knives.
Yeah. All different length knives.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's above the crib.
Warm and cozy. Warm and cozy. So as Wednesday and Pugsley are sawing spindles off on the staircase, apparently they're having a little bit of an issue with this baby.
Uh-huh.
Wednesday says that when you have a new baby, that one of the other children has to die.
It's a tradition.
It's a tradition. And then she tells him that they only need one boy in the house. So, you know, it's going to be him.
I love everything about Wednesday.
I know.
She's she's just so funny. Everything she says is just so...
It is. And it's a matter of fact. And we were all thinking it. Well, kind of.
But if one of them's going to go, it's going to be Pugsley. Pairing Wednesday and Pugsley, she's going to outsmart him every time.
I know.
Every time.
Well, even if she is like going off in left field about like somebody having to die, it makes sense that it would be Pugsley if this was true, because they do only need one boy.
Just replace him.
She makes a lot of sense.
She does.
A little twisted, but she makes some sense.
So one of my next favorite lines comes up. So basically, Gomez, Morticia, Uncle Fester, Grandma, they're all in the nursery, kind of like oogling over the baby, time, right?
He has my father's eyes.
Gomez, take those out of his mouth.
You didn't like it?
No.
I really like it.
Probably why I didn't write it down. It's really like, ugh.
Okay. I write ha in my notes after if it made me laugh.
With one ha?
Just one ha. Exclamation point.
Not a ha ha. No ha. All right. So that night, Wednesday and Pugsley are on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing an experiment with the baby in a bowling ball.
Yeah.
They're going to drop them off the roof at the same time. And then before they do that, they have to decide which one's going to hit the concrete first.
Sure.
Okay.
Pugsley says it'll be the bowling ball because it's heavier.
Right. I mean it.
But then Wednesday's like, yeah, but which one will bounce?
Everything that comes out of her mouth.
It's awful, but it's somehow funny.
You're like, bounce? I never even thought of that. Well, they end up dropping them both. Uh-huh. And then Gomez is in a bedroom down below them with Morticia. Uh-huh. And then he leans out of the window, ends up catching it's raining or something like that, or whatever. Yeah. He ends up catching the baby, and the bowling ball ends up hitting Lurch.
Because he's putting some type of insecticide on the plants outside at night, and he gets hit in the head by the bowling ball.
Of course he does. But it didn't affect him.
Oh, no.
No, he's fine.
No, he's Lurch.
Yeah. Nothing can kill him.
No, I don't think so.
So Morticia and Gomez sit down with the kids and ask why they hate the baby.
Uh-huh.
And if they think it's because they love the baby more, and they're like, yeah, it is. That is exactly the reason you love that baby more.
Uh-huh.
And then, so we've got Fester and the grandma that's there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fester says to Gomez that, you know, it's like a sibling rivalry, like they used to have as kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they about killed each other several times.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, real healthy relationship.
It's real.
Yeah.
So they start wrestling. Mm-hmm. And then Gomez ends up throwing Fester against a wall across the room. And then starts throwing knives that end up going like all around his silhouette.
That like pin him to the wall upside down.
I didn't know how he was staying up there.
I don't know. There must be really strong knives or really thick fabric.
This kind of reminded me. Was it like Michael Myers where he like stabbed the guy up on the wall with one?
Yeah, one knife. But it was like on like a pantry door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a thing.
We had a hard time with that. His feet were like off the ground. Yeah. Same thing. Uncle Fester's upside down though.
Correct.
So somehow like while he's flying through the air being thrown at the wall, knives are going at him and then pin him to the wall.
Okay.
They were really entertained by it. They loved it.
They loved it. Mm-hmm. Of course, because it's natural.
Yeah.
Okay, so Fester goes to bed. He is reading a book called Strange Men and the Women Who Avoid Them. And then he goes to bed. So this book, I had to like pause it and like write down because I'm like,
I didn't even get the title down.
I had to keep reading because I'm like, Strange Men, of course that's him, and the Women Who Avoid Them. So basically,
which is like every woman. Right. Yeah.
So I guess it's how to like get over
maybe that, or how to cope with it.
Maybe.
I don't know. It was pretty funny.
I don't know. Whatever. So Wednesday and Pugsley are now playing with a guillotine.
Of course.
In a room.
Attic.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they practice with a watermelon before trying it on the baby.
Sure.
So they count down and then it was like 3, 2, 1. And then they let it go. But the baby like pinches it with its fingers.
Yeah. He like stops it before its face and just like grabs the blade.
He starts giggling.
Yeah. And they were like impressed by it. And I was like, okay.
So the baby's good. So you should keep the baby around,
He's an Adam, so I mean, okay.
Morticia and Gomez are having this lovely date in the graveyard outside their house. But they can't seem to get a quiet moment with all like the crashing sounds that are happening
like
inside of the house.
Explosions and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. They know that their children are very not happy with this baby that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, we are having interviews at the house for a new nanny.
Yes.
Okay. So the first one is a very earth conscious.
Uh-huh.
She wants to talk about preventing forest fires, which is very odd to me.
Yeah.
Out of all of the earth conserving things
that she could do as a nanny.
Yeah. Forest fires?
And like, cool.
I mean, yeah.
People should try to help the environment. Great. And if you want to help prevent forest fires like Smokey the Bear, then do your thing. But my thing is, if you're interviewing for a nanny, that's really not the platform.
No. Especially with this family.
Yeah. Like, read the room, girl.
I know.
You know?
She didn't.
No.
Neither do the other three.
No.
So the second one has a question for Wednesday and Pugsley, and she just asks where the baby is. Mm-hmm. And Wednesday responds with, which part? Touche, Wednesday.
She's so quick and witty, too.
Touche. The third one has a puppet and tells the kids to nicely clean their rooms. Wednesday pulls out her devil puppet in response to this really nice puppet and says she will clean her room as long as she can have her immortal soul. Wednesday, you've got, girl.
She's got an answer for everything, girl. She's prepared for every scenario.
Literally every single response in the entire movie
is
freaking fantastic.
It's so funny. So obviously they've scared off every nanny that they've interviewed.
Yes.
That's obvious.
Then the fourth one comes in.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
She introduces herself as Debbie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. She is the villain of this movie.
Yeah.
She flirts with Lurch and
goes. Yeah, because she says to him, oh, boy, you must be a lady killer. And he goes,
isn't he a lady killer?
Acquitted.
That's why I know she's flirting with him.
Okay. And then upstairs, watching this conversation, we see Wednesday and Pugsley who are looking down.
Uh-huh.
And then a little further up on one of the landings is Fester, who's basically has his jaw on the floor looking at her. Uh-huh. And he is completely smitten.
Yeah.
He's in love.
Oh, yeah. And just uncomfortable to watch. He's just awkward. All of his interactions are just uncomfortable for me to watch.
They really are.
Yeah. It's a lot.
He is a lot. Now we see Wednesday and Pugsley with welding masks on, holding one of the welding wands. I don't know what they're called.
I guess.
It's a wand. It's a welding wand. And about to burn a Cabbage Patch doll that's hanging from a rope from a ceiling.
Great.
Morticia brings Debbie in to meet the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then Thing jumps on Debbie's shoulder
and
she ends up putting one of his fingers in her mouth.
And like sucks on it.
And says very she's sexual. Good with her hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Debbie.
Obviously Thing really liked it.
Oh, he started quivering and he like fell off. Yeah, it was pretty gross.
Okay.
So as they go downstairs, Debbie meets Fester, who can't form words. He's like hiding around
behind the stairs.
Behind spindles. The staircase.
Like, we can see you. Like, we can see you behind the stairs.
And Morticia's like, get out here. Come meet Debbie. And he's just like.
And then she starts like trying to flirt with him. And Debbie asks Morticia, like, where do you find these Adams men? And she goes, it has to be damp.
Okay. I have that written. So I had to rewind that because I'm like. It has to be damp. So
it's just getting so quick and they move on so fast.
I'm just like, what does that even mean? What does that mean? I don't know.
It's just funny. I love it.
It has to be damp. What? Okay.
Oh, it's so funny.
I have what? What? I don't know what that means. I'm going to move on. Just like you did.
But that's what they do. She says it has to be damp. And then the whole movie moves on fast. Like every time they have these weird one-liners, like they never dwell on it.
No.
They just like keep moving.
Which I really like.
It's so funny.
Because they don't give any explanation.
No.
You're just like.
And it's like this whole thing. You're like, damn. Okay.
You're like,
I guess we're moving on.
I know. Can you explain? No. Okay. So as Fester's laying in bed that night, Gomez talks to him about Debbie and about him and eventually, you know, going to get married, have his own kids.
Yeah.
Gomez then pulls out a centerfold from like underneath his blankets on the bed.
Yeah.
Opens it up. It's like a threefold. And he's like, who is this? And then at the same time, they both say, Mom.
What? And then it moves on really quickly.
And then
again.
It moves on again.
Again, we have no time to think about it. We're like, what?
Was that your real mom? Like,
yeah. Wait, I don't. Okay.
All right.
But Debbie is starting as their nanny like that night.
Yeah.
She's like living in their house, which I referred to as like a jail cell.
Oh, it did.
Because the room they put her in had like bars on the door. And it looked like a prison cell.
It did.
So I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
That's a good time.
So she's laying in her prison cell watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
This is Debbie. And on TV.
Eating her bonbons is what I was saying.
Oh, yeah. She's like a box of chocolates. And on TV, it's like the news. And it's talking about this woman that they call the Black Widow, and she marries all these rich men, and then on their wedding night, she kills them.
Uh-huh.
And they're showing all these pictures of, like, her and all these different situations, and each picture is Debbie. So she's basically there to prey on Uncle Fester.
Of course she is.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, they're painting through all of the different looks that she's ever had, uh-huh. and one of them is Kathy Lee Gifford. Did you see that?
Yes.
I can't.
Again, it was just so quick. It's like showing her with, like, different color hair, and then it's Kathy Lee Gifford, and it goes back to Debbie eating chocolate on her bed. And it's like, what? What?
I loved it. Because, I mean, of course, I wasn't paying attention to right. that when I watched it, like, you know, 20 years ago.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Fine.
I have a newfound appreciation for this movie. So the next day, the baby is crawling to grab a toy that's, like, at the base of the staircase.
Oh, we didn't mention the baby's name.
Oh, it's Pubert.
It's awful.
The baby's name is Pubert.
It's Pubert.
Yeah. And Debbie doesn't know how she feels about it either when she is told.
No.
She's like, oh, that's a cute name.
I haven't seen those on any of the suggested baby names, no. but, you know, Pubert. Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Okay. Anyway, Pubert wants a toy that's right at the base of the staircase. Mm-hmm. And Wednesday and Pugsley are on the second level holding a rope with an anvil, like, attached to it.
Yeah.
When the baby crawls underneath or, like, to get the toy, they let the rope go. And then their plan is basically unraveled because Debbie goes, picks the baby up, and starts walking up the staircase.
Yeah. And the anvil, like, goes through the floor.
Which nobody pays attention to.
No, they don't care.
They're like, oh, a hole in the floor? Eh, it'll be fine.
Great.
So she walks up the stairs. She meets Morticia and Gomez, who are coming down the stairs, mm-hmm. and they're going to be going out for the morning.
Yes,
and they give Debbie a list of important numbers,
mm-hmm. which is like the fire department.
Right. I mean, what kind of assistance would you need there? Seriously,
I don't know. I don't know.
You wouldn't.
But I think they're leaving with Uncle Fester, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
He's going with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's taking them with him. So after they leave, Debbie goes through all of Fester's stocks and bonds and certificates and all kinds of
IRAs.
Oh, yeah.
All this paperwork, which I'm thinking, like, how is that so accessible?
It's all, like, nicely laid out on the table.
Yeah, she's sitting in, like, an office in this house, and she's going through it. And also, she's, like, announcing what she's doing.
Right.
She's like, ooh, bonds, IRAs, oh, my gosh, savings. And she's, like, going through all these things, and she hears, like, creaking and, like, looks around the room and, like, goes back to sifting through his stuff. And she hears creaking again. And then we see Wednesday.
Who's got a, like, full face paint.
She's painted, like, head to toe to match the awful wallpaper on the walls. And it's like, girl, we see you, but okay, fine. And she, like, opens one eye to see what Debbie's doing and then just stays camouflaged into the
Well, because she paint. Needs to figure out what's the deal with this lady.
What she's up to.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. She doesn't trust her. So Wednesday comes in to interrogate Debbie mm-hmm. a little while later while she's changing the baby
yep.
or doing something with the baby.
Because she was calling the baby a name or something like that. Like, she was, like, her true colors were now showing when she thought she was by herself
oh,
with
yeah.
the baby.
Oh, yeah. She's being very angry with yeah. the baby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She asks if she really is a nanny and if she's there for her uncle.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, ooh, she knows.
Uh-huh.
She knows at this point.
Yeah. Well, Debbie also wasn't being very discreet on sifting through his paperwork.
No, not with her being so loud about it.
She's like, ooh, IRA. Like, Debbie, girl, have some chill. Like, holy shit.
You don't need to announce it to the entire house.
Oh, man, he's loaded. Calm down. Like, hold the cards a little closer to your chest.
Apparently,
you know?
She doesn't know Wednesday's skills. She doesn't know that Wednesday is, you know, basically a psychopath.
100%.
And she is going to find out and the information.
Did. And she did real fast.
Yeah, she did. Uh-huh. Obviously, Debbie needs to get rid of the kids
yep.
because now she realizes that she knows.
Uh-huh.
So she sits down with Morticia and Gomez and tells them that the kids really wanted to go to summer camp,
mm-hmm.
but they're just afraid to ask.
Yeah.
And not to ask them about it, just send them.
Yeah. And they're like, okay.
So they're like, oh, this is horrible. This is awful news. this is not my children. But anyways, we see Lurch driving Wednesday and Pugsley mm-hmm. to Camp Chippewa.
Uh-huh. With Morticia and Gomez in the car, too.
Correct, mm-hmm. yes. And as they get out of the car and they walk around with the other families that are there to drop their kids off, they're, like, completely despising the fresh air.
Yeah.
And then we meet Amanda Buckman.
Oh, man.
Who is dressed in floral and wearing
they're
a pearl necklace.
Very preppy.
Oh, yeah.
The entire earrings. Camp, all the kids and the parents. They make it very clear most times that it's a camp for very privileged children.
Oh, yeah.
So when they pan around the camp, it's all wealthy white people, and all these kids are blonde. They're all like white, blonde-haired people, and they're dressed very preppy.
Oh, yeah.
Very vibrant pastels, floral plaids, whatever. And they're all having the time of their life there. And then it pans and you see the Adams just standing
all in
there
black.
In their pale complexions in black. And then, yes, Amanda comes over and she asks Wednesday why she's dressed like that. Because it's like she's going to like a funeral. And I'm like, well, yeah, compared to what you're dressed like, Blondie. Yeah.
She's completely different. Now we meet the owners and directors of the camp.
Uh-huh.
They infuriate me.
Oh, my God.
Their names are Gary and Becky.
They are so uncomfortable.
I don't like their tone.
No.
In general.
No.
For everything.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's fake and condescending.
It really is.
It's bad.
And not nice.
No.
Mm-mm. So as they explain, this is a camp for privileged young adults.
Uh-huh. Sure is.
And that they are there to learn and grow and have fun.
Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. So we see Wednesday make eyes at another boy
uh-huh.
who has glasses and an inhaler.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to be there until he sees her. Like, he's like fighting with his parents. Sure. He's like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why you brought me here.
He's also another outcast. He doesn't Correct. Fit in with the whole group. Like, his whole family is like this Jewish family. And they make it obvious that he himself and his like quirky personality does not fit in with this preppy group at all.
No.
They make it very obvious.
Right.
And he's like puffing on his inhaler. And then him and Wednesday like lock eyes across uh-huh. the camp.
It's really cute.
Mm-hmm.
So back at the house, Debbie is reading a story to Pubert,
uh-huh.
and she hears the door to the room creak behind her,
yeah.
and she knows it's Fester there, and then starts changing the story,
uh-huh.
basically telling Fester that she wants him
uh-huh.
in no uncertain terms, basically.
Yeah, it's very blunt.
She's so dirty.
So gross. She has no chill, this girl, at all.
She doesn't.
No.
So Fester's all like in a tizzy. He immediately goes to see Gomez uh-huh. in his study or wherever the heck he's at and says that Debbie's driving him wild and he's like just freaking out. Okay.
Yeah. Come and then on. He asks Gomez if they can go on a double date.
Oh, yeah.
And meanwhile, Gomez is like throwing darts at Lurch and Lurch is like catching him on a dart board.
I don't know why he's afraid though. He got hit in the head with a bowling ball and he was fine.
Yeah.
So why is he afraid of a
and
dart?
One of the darts do go flying and go right into his mouth. You can't, I mean, Lurch might already be dead because you can't kill the guy.
It's true.
He might just be a zombie. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's possible. Like a Frankenstein or something.
Oh, maybe he's got like a wind-up box. I don't know. It's possible.
I don't know. We don't know much about him.
We don't know.
But of course, Gomez agrees about them going on double dates.
Yes. Yeah. So back at the camp,
uh-huh.
we are playing a game of victim and lifesaver
it's
on the
weird
dock.
It's a game.
I don't know why. Okay.
And Wednesday and Pugsy are wearing like their Victorian bathing suits.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody else
down
is just wearing
knees and like long
black.
Sleeves.
Yes. Completely covered up, and everybody else is just wearing like regular bathing suits.
Yeah.
I can't remember the kid that Wednesday locked eyes with. He's like standing on the dock
Joel.
Wearing Joel.
Yeah.
He's like wearing flippers. He's like
I
wearing
can't.
A bathing suit and flippers with his inhaler.
All he needed was like an inner tube like around his waist, like
a life jacket, huh?
We have Wednesday and Amanda
uh-huh,
who are teamed up. And Wednesday is supposed to be the lifesaver.
Uh-huh.
And as Amanda jumps in the water and
she said she wanted to be the drowned one because she wants to be an actress. So it's a good opportunity for her to work on her acting skills to be drowning. That's why she volunteered to be the drowning victim.
Can we just punch her in the face?
I'm like, shut up.
Enough already.
I'm like, Wednesday, act quicker. Come on.
So Amanda jumps in the water, fake mm-hmm. drowns, and then Wednesday looks over to Gary and she's like, I can't swim. And then you see the bubbles in the water, like where
yeah, Amanda's because Amanda committed to it. She's completely submerged and we just see like fewer bubbles.
Wednesday, savage.
Uh-huh.
So Fester asks Debbie to dinner
mm-hmm.
with Morticia and Gomez at this little cafe. It looks like it's in a cave.
It's like, I was like, is this underground?
I think so.
Which could be cool. The restaurant itself didn't seem bad.
No.
It could be cool if it's like in a cave.
It's probably very chilly.
Mm.
I bet you they have really nice chilled wine.
I was just going to say, they probably have great wine. We're on the same path.
So in the bathroom of this restaurant, Morticia is fixing her makeup mm-hmm. as Debbie asks if Fester likes her.
Yeah.
Because now she wants, obviously.
Because she's playing a game.
She is.
Because the whole dinner, it's awkward and uncomfortable. And Fester, again, just can't, like, articulate anything. He's just sitting there awkwardly.
Yeah.
And then, so she's trying to, like, manipulate everybody so that she's trying to play like, oh, I like Fester a lot, but I can't gauge if he likes me. And Morticia's like, of course he does. And I'm like, guys, stop.
Well, yeah, she's like, of course he does. So apparently Fester had vomited.
And Debbie was wiping part of her dress, so it seemed like it may have gotten on her.
Uh-huh. And apparently that's a sign of love in the Addams family.
Yeah.
That if you vomit.
Projectiling, okay. I guess.
All right. Well, it wasn't much, though. It was only a little, like, one-inch spot, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Did the rest of it get on the floor? Okay.
I don't know.
So Fester asks Gomez, like, while they're in the bathroom, he asks Gomez how he can be as suave as him.
Uh-huh.
And Gomez just tells him, he's like, you just got to woo her.
Yeah.
Just, no. Okay. Fester, you don't have that, buddy.
No.
I'm sorry.
It's just been done for some people. Gomez it's has natural for- swagger, you right. know? And Fester is just poor awkward. And doesn't mean that awkward men can't woo women or woo a partner or whoever they're interested in.
Right.
It's just Fester can't.
No. It's not in his DNA.
No, he ever. Don't got that. No, he didn't get that gene. No.
So now Morticia and Gomez, and I don't know if it's a song that they, it's like their song. I don't know. But they start this very sultry dance.
Yeah. The like musicians start playing this tango type
tango.
Of song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the two of them like get up and start doing this like dance in front of the entire restaurant.
Yeah, they do.
And they are like rehearsed.
Yes, they are.
And meanwhile, Fester has breadsticks shoved up his nose.
Yeah, Debbie turns to him, I guess, to see, you know, what he's doing. And yeah. I guess to impress her, he just shoved very long breadsticks up his nose. That's, and then Debbie just kind of turns around.
Not cool. Like, no. Which has got to be hard for Debbie. I hate Debbie. But imagine being on a double date and you see the other couple you're with doing this, like, sultry, like, intimate, like, dance on a dance floor. And you turn to your date and he's like, I'm a walrus.
Look, I can shove breadsticks up my nose.
And then he like, imagine he like offered her one. I'd be like, I can't.
Oh my God.
I would have had to leave. I'm sorry.
He would have turned around the other side, the one that wasn't, the side that wasn't in
not
his nose.
Covered in boogers.
I can't.
Oh man.
All right. So we're back at the camp now and The girls are in their bunkhouse And they're telling ghost stories. And then they're like, Wednesday, it's your turn. You finish. Because they were taking turns.
Yeah.
Taking turns telling this ghost story. I mean, just making it up. And Winston's like, no, I don't want to do it. And they're like, you have to. And I'm like, this is a bad idea on your part,
not
girl.
Not with that girl.
Oh, my God.
You don't want that girl to tell you anything.
She ended up making everybody scream.
Sure. Freaked everybody out.
Come on.
What do we expect? Girls.
They're stupid.
Uh-huh.
That was stupid on their part. All right. So Fester and Debbie, they've gotten home.
Yeah.
They're walking through the graveyard. And
of
Debbie,
course.
Debbie tells Fester that she's a virgin.
And he doesn't know what that means.
He's like, I don't know what that is. And then so she explains it to him. And he says, yeah, me too. I'm like, okay. So she confesses her love for him.
Uh-huh.
And then he says he loves her too. And then apparently now we're engaged.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
And then she says one other thing too. Like she was pretending like she didn't believe that he was a virgin. And she's like,
women must follow you everywhere.
Store detectives.
I missed that.
It was another like quick one where she just like just kept going.
I missed it. Okay.
Store detectives.
Okay. So as Morticia and Gomez are watching Pubert sleep, Fester busts in and says a miracle has happened.
Uh-huh.
And after their guess that he had a rash and then it was gone, he tells them that he was engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Debbie walks in and like flaunts her left hand.
Oh, yeah.
And then they notice that it was Gomez's mother's ring. And then Debbie just busts out this shovel. Implying that...
That bitch had dug her up And taken her ring.
And also implying, like, yeah, I'm a gold digger, bitch.
Oh, my God. You know what? You're right.
Uh-huh. Huh. Yeah.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
She is a legit grave digger.
And, of course, there's lightning.
Of course there is.
Of course there is.
Back at camp.
Uh-huh.
Camp Master Becky is handing out mail to all the campers, Our letters.
Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday gets a letter that says that her Uncle Fester is getting married to the nanny.
Yes.
Amanda pipes up and says that she is disgusted that anybody in their family would marry a nanny.
The help. Like, whoa, bitch.
I know.
Whoa, bitch.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then she also says that she feels like their family is a science experiment.
Oh.
Well, and I said, I mean, maybe. That part might actually be true.
I mean, I don't think that anybody is doing a science experiment on them.
They may be good candidates for it, though.
I mean, they might be, but do you want to get that close?
I don't know. Now that a hazmat suit.
Oh my God, they have guillotines there and anvils.
I don't want to go near that house at all.
No. Winston's going to kill me.
She's scary bitch.
She's fun. Mm-hmm. I like her.
Yeah.
I think we could be friends.
I'm scared of her.
Exactly. You need her on your side.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So to break up this anger that's happening, because obviously Wednesday's not happy either.
Sure.
Becky calls for a group hug because I think that is the fantastic way to do it.
Yeah. So all of the campers just do this weird group hug and Pugsley and Wednesday are just staring at them. They're like, fuck no.
No.
Hell no.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So Becky and Gary, they walk over to them and they say they don't need to be shy. Wednesday says they aren't shy.
Oh, they're just shy. We're not shy. We're contagious.
I love it.
I'm sure you are. So they kind of like back away from them.
So their punishment is to go to this weird ass harmony cabin.
Harmony hut.
So they put Wednesday and Pugsley in this tiny little cabin hut thing. And there's posters all over the walls of like a hang in there, kitty kind of poster. Like all that kind of shit everywhere. And then they have VHSs from the watch, which is just Disney overload, basically. So they tell them that they have to stay there. And they leave, and then their friend Joel...
He gets thrown in there, too. They're like, what are you in here for?
What are you locked up for?
So he goes into the... I didn't write him down, but he gets thrown in for, like...
He was reading.
Right. Reading, not participating, and, like...
He didn't want to go horseback riding. And then Gary pops in and he like grabs the book out of his hands and then closes the door again. So now the three of them are like stuck in there watching these like sing-alongs and like Disney movies and Annie and all that stuff.
Which is not that bad in my opinion.
I mean, for Wednesday and Pugsley, though.
Well, of course. That's torture. Burn Adams. Yeah. Yes. So that night they dress up in ninja outfits, all three of them. They try to escape. But they get caught.
Yes.
The whole entire camp is there.
Yeah.
With Gary and Becky.
Which is weird.
And Amanda says that they need to be punished and get all of the other campers to start chanting. Like,
I think it was like punish them or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Gary calms them all down with singing Kumbaya.
Kumbaya, my lord.
Kumbaya. The entire camp, like, chimes in. Gary has like a guitar out of fucking nowhere.
Where did he get that?
I don't know, but they're all now singing.
How did he know he's gonna need to sing Kumbaya? How did he know?
And Wednesday and Pugsley are like repulsed by the whole situation. They freak out.
I mean, I am too.
I would be very uncomfortable by that.
You know what?
If like, one, where the fuck did all you come from?
Right.
And why do you also rehearse in this song? And where did that guitar come from, Gary?
I mean, everybody knows that song.
Yeah, but like, really?
I know. Okay. So now we are at a bridal shower at the house for Debbie.
Yeah.
So that she can meet all of her future family.
Yes.
Including.
All the Adams are there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of crazy people.
Yeah. They got a weird gene pool. Right?
There's a few branches that are missing on their tree. Okay. So we meet Cousin It.
Yes.
His wife.
His wife,
Margaret.
Uh-huh.
And their son, what?
His name is literally just what? I wrote. Real hairy baby. What? Because it was just a Cousin It, but tiny.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His name is what?
Because Cousin It's voice is very, very sharp and very
mumbly and high
pitched. High pitched is the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
But baby what? His voice or her voice.
Baby what?
Baby what? Was even higher.
Yeah, it's.
That's so good.
You sound like that. What was that Muppet, too, that used to talk like that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
I can't remember which one it was. There was one that would talk like that. You couldn't understand anything he was saying. I can't remember what it was. Oh, damn it. Oh, well.
We'll find out.
Just gonna be thinking out into the voice.
Okay, so while the shower is going on, in the basement, Gomez is having a bachelor party of some sort or some kind of gathering with the men.
Yeah.
For Fester.
Yes.
So apparently, there was supposed to have been a girl that was supposed to jump out of this large cake that was wheeled in.
Lurch, like, pushing this huge multi-tiered cake.
Uh-huh.
And Gomez keeps, like, building up and points to the cake and nothing happens. Just, like, three times.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
So he walks over to it and takes the top off the cake. It's like smoking. Steaming. Yeah. And apparently, Lurch had ended up baking her in the cake. Instead of baking the cake and then her getting it in.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're like, oh well.
just a normal Thursday, whatever.
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess there's no body to deal with there. And so back at camp, Wednesday and Joel are sitting on this bench talking about his allergies. Mm. Very romantic.
Getting cozy.
And then Wednesday scoots closer to him because I guess she feels seen by him.
Yeah.
Because he's just as weird as she is.
Uh-huh.
So then a little bit later, they meet in a science room.
Uh-huh.
And Wednesday had left him apparently a note in his cutlet.
Again, just flew right past it.
A cutlet.
Yeah. So I guess he's like eating and there's like a note in it. Like I don't.
In the chicken?
How?
Was it underneath?
Was it sounded like it was in the middle of the chicken.
It said in his cutlet.
Yeah.
In it.
How?
I don't know.
Whatever. Okay.
Was it in a plastic baggie so it didn't get
Probably
wet?
Probably not.
Okay. So she asks if he wants to go to this wedding that his Uncle Fester is having.
Like a date?
Yeah. And then he says, yeah, I'll go.
Mm.
So cute. So now we are at the wedding day.
And which is obviously in a cemetery.
Of course it is. Right outside their house.
Uh-huh.
They have a lot of like dead people there. Like it's a big cemetery.
Yeah.
Big.
Yeah. Adams are always in that house because like they just die there and get buried outside.
And they don't fix it up either.
No.
Nothing.
It's very run down. And there's lots of anvil holes in it.
So Debbie walks down in all white, all bejeweled.
Yeah.
Cousin It is conducting the ceremony.
What was he saying while he was doing it? Me, 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 me. I do.
So Fester confesses his love for Debbie and gives this whole like speech.
These weird vows.
She looks completely disgusted.
She's repulsed by it.
So were you not repulsed before right now? Could you not like fake it in front of his entire
family?
Like
fix your face a little bit?
Little bit. No?
Nothing. No. Because once he's done with his vows, she just goes, ditto. And he's good with that.
He is good
with
that.
He's fine.
He's got like this permagrin smile on his face.
Uh-huh. So now it shows them like leaving the wedding. They did an outfit change and everything. And they're leaving the wedding. They're being like escorted to like this car, which.
Oh, has a dead body.
Yeah. You know how it has like the cans like behind it? It has that. But also they're dragging a body behind it as well with the cans. Whatever.
Of course.
So before they get in the car, Fester's like, wait, like throw the bouquet. So she's like annoyed, inconvenienced, whatever. And she throws it. There's a crowd of people, and they move away, and all of a sudden, Wednesday is holding the bouquet. So then Joel, her friend date, is next to her, and he's like, well, now you have to get married. And Wednesday goes, it's not binding. And one of the people, the guest behind her, goes,
tramp.
Tramp.
Oh my God, I missed that too. I do remember it, though.
And then it immediately pans to the honeymoon. And I'm like, what?
Oh, my God. Why'd you call her a tramp?
I think they were just jelly that they didn't catch it.
Oh, my God.
He's like, tramp.
I'm sure she'll give you the bouquet.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure she's not going to keep it.
She's like 13. She doesn't want it. It's fine.
All right. So now we are at their honeymoon, which is in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And she brings it. Like, Fester is taking a bath.
Yeah.
A bubble bath.
Mm-hmm.
She comes in with this large boombox.
I said boombox, too.
Because it's a legit boombox.
It's huge.
It's huge.
And it's got, like, power cords and extension cords. Like, where was she going with this?
I don't know.
It had a longest extension cord with, like, power
strips.
Yeah, there was a lot happening. Girl, okay, fine. You don't need all that shit, but it's fine. Whatever. Yeah,
she asked Fester, she's like, would you die for me? Like, she goes through this whole thing. And he's like, yes, I would. And then she drops this boombox into the tub.
Yeah.
Like, he gets electrocuted.
Light bulbs are, like, flying out of the wall.
Yeah. He's like, it goes dark.
Yeah.
And then she thinks he dies, but then he lights up the room with this light bulb that's lighting
in his mouth. That he's, like, illuminating. And he's real proud of himself, and he's alive, and she is pissed.
Oh, she's pissed.
Uh-huh.
So he gets out of the tub. She's, like, pissed off in the bed.
Uh-huh.
Like, she's upset that he didn't die and is very reluctant to have sex with him, which is, I mean, understandable to an extent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not bad.
I mean, he's just not for me. I'm sure he has somebody out there that would love him.
Well, and we find somebody else.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. Not my type.
No.
I could say that, but I don't want to judge anybody else's type.
No.
But not my thing either.
So she starts, like, putting the moves on him.
Yeah. Because she figures out a way to manipulate him.
She does. Mm-hmm. So she gives him an ultimatum that if she has sex with him, he can never see his family again.
Ever.
Because she knows that he loves his family.
Mm-hmm.
He will do anything for his family. And now she's just being a bitch.
Right. And if she can keep him isolated, then she can manipulate him, kill him, take his money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's such a, and I mean, clever, but clever, not nice. Girl.
Yeah. But he originally says no because he loves his family. And then she puts her hands places.
Oh, yeah.
And he really enjoys it. And he quickly agrees.
He really does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't take much.
Nope.
Not at all.
Usually doesn't.
She said it, guys. I didn't. It's pretty funny. You're not wrong. Okay. So we see Morticia and Gomez later on at the house and realize that they haven't heard from Fester or Debbie.
Yeah.
In a while. And then they proceed to give Pubert a bottle that is mixed with a concoction of an uncooked egg.
Yeah. It's gross. He like cracked an egg into it.
Yep. Uh-huh. Some vodka.
Yeah.
And possibly poison.
It looked like it.
Something.
But he shook it up.
He did.
Yeah.
Wanted to make sure it was really nice and mixed.
Yeah. Then gave it to Pubert.
He goes, hair of the dog. Because apparently Pubert had a really good time the night before.
Apparently.
What the hell did Pubert do?
I don't know. He's giving him like a hangover remedy. I know. It's very strange. It's so weird.
Well, it sounds like he got a little drunk. Somebody gave the baby some alcohol. So at summer camp again, we're doing some archery.
Of course.
Okay. So they're in the line to do the archery.
Yeah.
And Wednesday is reading a postcard from Fester that he can never see her again.
Yep.
And then she's like, oh, he's going to die. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, that went south quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, Wednesday.
Yeah, it did.
She knows, though.
Mm-hmm.
So Pugsley shoots his arrow and it ends up killing. He shoots it higher than he should have, like not at the target.
He
shot
at the sky. Yeah.
He did. He ends up killing an American bald eagle.
Yeah.
It falls down from the sky right in front of him.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of like, ooh, I don't think you should have done that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Pugsley.
Because didn't the, Gary and Becky go like, aren't they endangered? And Wednesday's like, now they are.
Of course she did. Of course she gave a one-liner. Debbie and Fester are off the plane back from their honeymoon.
Yeah.
And they are met by a guy driving a hearse.
Of course.
And he asks Debbie, where the body is.
Yeah, where she could pick up her husband.
Then she points over her shoulder over to Fester, who is clearly alive and not dead.
Yep.
So she just kind of walks, stomps off.
Yeah, he's carrying all the suitcases. And yeah. He's got like three or four different layers on his neck, and he's just happy as shit just getting off the airplane.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, my God. He looks a hot mess.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many times they had sex. They probably only had sex once.
I guess that's all he needs.
That's probably all he needs, if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells him that they're going to be together for a while.
Yeah.
That she's presuming.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to have to make some changes.
Yeah.
So he is now wearing a suit.
Like a white suit.
White suit. And has this strawberry blonde bowl cut
wig.
She said that not to, because his head was itchy. She says, don't itch it until the scabs dry up or something like that. So I'm like, did he get like implants?
Maybe.
I don't know.
But something's happened with his head. It looks awful. It looks worse than he did somehow. And he's got this weird, like, thick-ass blue turtleneck under this, like, white suit. It's a mess.
He's got to be hot.
It's a mess.
Right?
I was trying to figure, this is insignificant, but I was trying to figure out, like, where they lived.
Oh, interesting.
Because I have no idea. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, I mean, they could literally be anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, except for Florida or the South, where it's too hot for them.
Right.
There's no way they would live anywhere in the South. There's no way. Not with this climate. Hell no.
There is no central AC in that house.
No way.
It's got to be up north.
Be someplace up north, east or west. Someplace, not the South. No way.
Oh, my God. Okay. So he's standing in front of their new mansion as movers are bringing in this very expensive looking antique furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And she is not being very nice to him.
No.
That's what I have in my notes.
Not to anybody. She's a bitch.
She's a total awful bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So Gomez and Morticia receive the same postcard, essentially, that Wednesday had received about Fester not being able to see the family anymore. Gomez freaks out.
Yeah. And they tell Gomez, like Fester says, that they're staying in Hawaii. Which I was like,
right.
No.
That's not true.
Mm-mm.
No. So Gomez tries to figure out what he had done to push him away. And Morticia's like, no, it's not you.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a phase.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
And then she calms him down and brings up their romantic honeymoon that they had.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. They are very sensual.
I know. I will say, they are very weird.
Yeah.
But their love for each other is adorable.
Isn't it?
It's really cute.
I mean,
their PDA and everything is sweet.
I know.
I love everything about it.
Because it's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Like, it's not normal.
It's cute, but at the same time.
I know. So we're back at the camp, and as Gary and Becky are explaining about what the agenda is going to be for the day, we see Pugsley, Joel, and Wednesday behind the bleachers, just sitting on the ground. Joel has an envelope of his schizo and serial killer cards.
Yeah, they look like baseball cards, like playing cards.
Yeah, they do.
But they're not like athletes. It's different serial killers.
Schizos and serial killers.
Yeah.
So he has almost the entire series when he explains. He has a card that's called the Black Widow, which has Debbie's picture on it.
Sure does.
So, and then Pugsley ends up wanting to trade one of his cards for, I can't remember who it was.
It was another woman. I don't know who it was.
Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty funny. So now Gary and Becky talk about the play that they will be performing for their families at the end of the camp.
It's a Thanksgiving play.
It's the first Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And it's incredibly racist.
Oh, God. This whole... Yes, it is.
Yeah. They basically casted, which is 90% of the camp, all the blonde white folk.
Of course.
As the pilgrims.
Uh-huh.
And all the other people are the Native Americans. And then they casted Wednesday as Pocahontas.
Because she has braids.
Yeah. And she's a brunette.
And she's That's what they said.
Because she's got brown hair. And she can be Pocahontas. And I was like, I don't remember the movie being so racist.
No. Can we not just get a wig?
No? Right. Do we not have that in our budget for camp?
Okay.
Because we do archery and crafts. Like, can we not get a wig? Okay. That's fine.
Well, there we go.
Okay.
There's that.
Yeah.
The Addams Clan goes to see Fester at his new home now.
Yes.
Debbie greets.
Trying to ambush him.
Oh, yeah. Debbie greets them at the door and tells them that Fester doesn't want to see them because they always have flaunted their love affair.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't make any sense.
But Fester loves it. He likes their love affair.
I think he I think everybody does.
Yeah.
I mean, we do.
Uh-huh. It's adorable.
It's adorable. Damn it. It's adorable. Debbie glances over to Fester, who's kind of standing on the staircase.
He's like cowering.
Cowering in a corner.
He's like afraid of her.
And asks if he wants to talk to them. And then she rubs her hands like all over her boobs.
Uh-huh.
And then he yells at his family just to go away.
Yeah.
Just go away.
Morticia has one of my other favorite lines.
Oh, my God.
Say it. Do you have it, too?
I do have it.
Okay. So Morticia kind of claps back at Debbie, and she says to her,
"You have married Fester. You have destroyed his spirit. You have taken him from us. All that I could forgive. But Debbie..."
"What?"
"Pastels."
"Pastels?" And looks around her house, and I lost it.
I know. It was pretty fantastic.
She doesn't care that she's torturing and manipulating Fester, but she's so offended that she's decorated her house with pastel colors. I loved everything about it. It was so funny.
Debbie gets all pissed off, and she ends up just like
kicking him out
of the house. She's like, she's going to get locked up for trespassing if they don't get out.
Pastels?
Pastels. Morticia.
I love her. I know. She's so funny.
The Addams Family.
Oh, but like, doesn't Grandma put like a spell on her too as they're getting kicked out? She doesn't know, like, she's holding a skull and she like mumbles something to Debbie and like gives her a skull. And I'm like, was she putting a spell or just being creepy? Like, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Can she? I don't think she's.
We don't know anything about Grandma.
That's true.
We don't know anything about her.
That's true.
She probably does practice witchcraft. I wouldn't be surprised.
So how would that? I mean, I don't think anything happens to her though.
I mean, it's definitely not effective if she is putting a spell on her.
She's not real good at it. She likes to do it. It's a hobby.
She's interested in it. She has the books to research.
All right. So now the Addams Family goes immediately to the police station.
Yeah.
Gomez explains his story about his brother and all the things that normal people would want in their marriage.
Yeah.
Like a large house, a new car, sex all the time. And then Gomez is losing it and gets basically thrown into jail.
Yeah, because like he's demanding that they help them, but they're not.
But everything that he is saying that is happening horribly to his brother is
things you would want in a marriage,
right?
Yeah.
So the guy that was like sitting at the desk, he's like, so what's the problem?
Was that Nathan Lane?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh my God, you know who Nathan Lane is?
No.
I can't with you. I can't.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let's just move on.
Moving on. Okay, so Gomez gets thrown into jail. And then as this is happening, Debbie is renewing her passport.
Yeah.
She says that she will be traveling soon and will be a widow. And the guy's like, you already know that you're going to be a widow? Like,
yeah, red flag. His ears perked up.
But I don't think he did anything about it.
No.
So back at the camp, they are practicing their first Thanksgiving play. And a few of the campers were sent out to find Wednesday because apparently she went MIA.
Uh-huh.
And they find her at the payphones trying to call the FBI about her uncle. And then Wednesday gives Gary and Becky some attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not having it.
No.
So they send her back to the Harmony Hut.
Yes.
But this time they give her the VHS tapes mm-hmm. of Bambi, the Little Mermaid, Lassie mm-hmm. to start watching those.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear a montage of songs from other movies.
Annie, yeah, really to break them down, right. Wear them down.
Because you can see, like, you see the outside of this hut where it's like daylight and then all of a sudden it gets dark.
It's nighttime. They've been there for hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when they are let out, Wednesday walks up to, it's the entire camp again.
Of course.
With Gary and Becky.
So weird.
And she says that she isn't perky, but she wants to be. Right. And then she says that she wants to be Pocahontas. Then she smiles and everybody gasps.
It's so forced. her eyes are like bulging out of her face while she's doing
it. And it takes her a while.
Yeah. She's never used those muscles before.
It's fantastic. So back at the house, Grandma is checking on Pubert,
mm-hmm.
and she screams.
Yeah.
So Morticia and Gomez run in the room, and they don't find their dark, slicked hair back boy.
With the pale with complexion.
With the mustache and the pale complexion. They find a blonde hair, curly haired, happy baby instead. Yeah.
They said he's very sick.
I mean, based on their other family members, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Grandma starts to put a spell on him to kind of change him back or try to change him back.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work
because
she's not really good at her skill.
No, she's definitely not a witch. We've decided that. It's been determined. Confirmed.
It's just a hobby.
Uh-huh.
So she reads the book that she has and she finds that all of this can happen due to a troubled family life, like separations.
Yes.
And then they realize it's all about Fester.
Yep. He's not there, so the baby can't be happy.
Right.
And then Grandma says, at this rate, he could become a lawyer, an orthodontist,
or the president.
And Gomez freaks out.
They are mortified. Completely.
He's like, no.
We are now at the end of camp, and we are starting the play. This first Thanksgiving play.
Yeah.
And
the first act is basically
a turkey.
Pugsley as a giant turkey and a bunch of the other kids dressed as turkeys, and they're singing this song called Eat Us.
Yes, Eat Me.
And the parents in the crowd look uncomfortable by it.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Oh boy. Okay.
So we revert back to Debbie.
Uh-huh.
So we started the play, but now we're going to see Debbie for a second. Debbie is practicing sobbing for the death of her husband.
Oh, yeah. She's in the mirror.
She's got the black veil. And then she's like, she lifts the veil. She starts like laughing, whatever. She has a box with dynamite and a timer in it. And she packs it up. She brings it downstairs to Fester. And she says it's his birthday present. But not to open it.
Yeah. So she has this gift box and she puts it on the dining room table and she tells him not to peek.
No.
Until she gets home later. But the gift's for him. But don't peek.
Right.
And then she leaves and says like this goodbye to him. Wanting to remember what his face looked like. And he's like, but you're coming back, right?
You'll be back in a few minutes.
And she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then picks up her suitcases.
And walks out.
And then leaves. And then the box is like ticking. He's excited that it might be a bomb.
I know. Which I absolutely love. Okay, she tried to electrocute him. What does she think that a bomb is going to do?
I know.
I mean,
okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So back at the play now.
The very racist play.
Wednesday comes in as Pocahontas.
Uh-huh.
She starts the play as it should be, reading her lines. But then she diverts the story.
Yep.
Of the Indians.
Flips the script.
And how they were mistreated.
Uh-huh.
So she has completely redone this entire line.
I love it.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Panic ensues when she says that she is going to scalp Sarah Miller, who is this Amanda, and burn the village.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other kids that are like the quote misfits. Unquote outcast misfits of the camp are also the Indians that are behind her. So she's got them all on her side to basically revolt against this entire play in the whole camp.
Which is fantastic.
It's so funny. They start setting fire to everything. Like,
yeah, they do.
They had so much accessible fire.
Yeah, and the parents didn't really do anything.
No.
Did they think it was part of the play?
I don't know. But they took Amanda, the blonde girl, and like tied her to a post. And they were going to like burn her like a witch. Like, at the stake. They're like tying her to this post. And then they're like shooting arrows. Kids are coming in off of zip lines.
Oh, yeah.
And like things are on fire. And I'm like,
how did they plan all that?
Things really escalated.
She got pissed. Don't be pissing her off. And then we see Gary and Becky her strapped to this pole like vertically.
Yeah.
And they're spinning like a rotisserie over a fire. And then you can see in the distance, Wednesday is being rowed in the front of this canoe. Yeah. And Joel's like rowing
paddling behind her. They're just in a canoe together.
It's fantastic.
It's so good.
All right. So now we're back with Debbie and she is drinking it up at the bar.
Yeah. Singing with sailors.
Oh, yeah. And then she realizes what time it is and she like... She leaves to go home to make sure the house blows up like it should.
Yes. She has a date.
Fester is sitting at the table waiting for Debbie to come back. Then the house blows up.
She's waiting in the driveway.
She's waiting in the driveway. She looks extremely happy as she walks up to this burnt house.
Yeah.
And then Fester walks out.
Yeah. With the tray of dinner. Like the food, whatever fucked up meatloaf.
It's a little burnt.
A little toasty.
A little bit.
Smoking a little bit. And so is he.
She gets mad. And I don't know if she assumed that he was coming out, but she grabs her gun out of her purse and she just points it at him.
Yeah. It's a huge gun.
It's really big.
It's, I mean.
Do they not make smaller ones?
They would have to. How'd that fit in her purse?
I don't.
She had like a tiny little clutch. How? Whatever.
It doesn't matter. Okay. It's irrelevant. So she starts saying some very not nice things about Fester.
No.
And Thing pulls up in this, he hijacks the car, car.
How did he drive it?
I don't know.
He's just a hand. He's just moving around a lot.
He is.
He's very. Gas, brake, steering wheel, gas, brake, steering wheel. How? Put it in gear. Like, how?
He's real handsy.
He really is handsy.
He's good with his hands.
Uh-huh.
So Thing has hijacked this car.
Yeah.
And he ends up running over Debbie.
Yeah.
Knocks her to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Fester jumps in and Thing is having a real hard time driving this car straight.
As we would have suspected. It's just a hand.
How did he get there?
I don't know.
How far away was it from his house?
I don't know. Maybe he suspected something was going south and he went to go investigate.
Did he get on a bus?
How
did he use
happen?
Public transportation?
I mean, he could hitchhike. He's a hand.
Thumb. I see what you did there. I see you did there. Okay. Okay. We were so stupid. So Wednesday and Joel meet at the fence.
Yes.
Okay. So Wednesday's on one side. Joel is on the other.
Yes. They're escaping.
They're escaping. So Wednesday and Pugsley leave because Pugsley rolls up in some van.
Yeah, he took a van from the camp. It had like the Camp Chippewa sign on the side of it. And Wednesday doesn't want to leave Joel. He wants him to go with her.
Yeah.
But he says that he has to go back for the other Indians.
That's
right.
And
make sure the place burns to the ground.
So dramatic.
He had this like dark side that came out. And then they kiss each other through the fence.
Aww, that's so cute.
How cute.
Aren't they so cute little young love? So Morticia is reading The Cat in the Hat to Pubert.
Yeah.
In the nursery.
She's really struggling with it too.
She's like, do you really like this? She's not happy about it.
No.
And then Grandma runs in and says that she has to come see Gomez.
Yeah.
It's an emergency.
Yeah.
And she thinks he's dying.
Yeah, he's losing it.
Is there anything else about Gomez?
Well, Morticia gets into the room and he's like rambling on about God knows what. He's losing it.
Yeah. He is.
Okay.
And then Fester comes in.
Still like smoky and half burnt.
He looks like a toasty marshmallow. And he says that he's an Adams.
Yeah.
Like he's
back.
He's back.
Mm-hmm.
He is reunited with everybody. Everybody's happy.
Wednesday and Pugsley show up.
Yeah.
They're all like, during their weird kind of group hug, kind of physical contact.
Kind of like a side hug. Bit.
Yeah.
A little side hug. Then Debbie rolls up with a flamethrower.
This bitch.
She has strapped the entire family into electric chairs.
Uh-huh. Even Thing. He's even in an electric chair.
It's impressive. How did you strap him down? And then she gives them a slideshow of her life and how she has killed everyone.
Yeah. And how her childhood was terrible. Because she wanted a particular type of Barbie.
Malibu Barbie.
And her family got her a different bullshit Barbie for Christmas that she didn't ask for.
Oh, she wanted a ballerina Barbie.
Oh, but and then she got Malibu Barbie.
Yeah, but she enunciates it. Mm. Malibu Barbie.
So you know what happened? They had to pay. And she set the whole house on fire. Her parents had to pay for getting her the wrong freaking Barbie.
Oh my God.
And then she goes through all of her husbands and how they were loaded and then she killed them. They were loaded, then she killed them.
Yeah, she has this very long-winded speech.
Yeah, but all her ex-husbands are like, blah, 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 get on with it,
whatever. So she walks over to the switch that will, like, do the electrocution.
Yeah.
And then when she pulls the switch, Pubert has somehow diverted the electricity.
Yeah, because we see him escape. from his crib or something.
He's like running through the house.
He's like, yeah, crawling. And he's also like, there's also like a bowling ball. And the bowling ball is like continuously moving. And I'm like, this house is so slanted. And it's just so much rolling. And then the baby was like on the banister. And somehow he like got into the attic where they were at. Either way, I don't really know where he fell from. But he landed where all of those wires were.
There's a lot of wires.
And there was like a disconnect in the wires. And I'm like, well, how would they get electrocuted if the current couldn't stay constant?
I don't know.
Like, if there was a break in the current, no one would get electrocuted. Whatever, fine. So then she pulls that overdramatic lever thing.
Oh, it's large.
It was huge. And Pubert, like, puts the broken wires together. And somehow it, like, changes the current direction to go back
to the box.
To the switch where Debbie was. And it, like, completely fried and cremated her.
It did.
Except for her shoes. And you know that drives me goddamn crazy.
Do you know what? Huh. That's a kind of the same thing that happened in Midnight Mass.
And you know it drives me crazy. Like, why would their shoes not go on fire?
Why don't their shoes burn?
They would burn.
That's interesting.
They would totally burn.
Huh.
Is it for us to know that it's her? Like, we knew it was her.
Huh.
Who else would go and, like, become cremated like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, but...
I'm thinking of the Wizard of Oz, too.
Yeah.
Huh.
Why? I think it's them to just give us a visual of, like, yeah, it's them, confirmed. But I'm like, but no one questioned it.
Interesting. Interesting.
Okay. And then we get on-screen text that says sometime later.
Dot, dot, dot. So we're having a birthday party.
Uh-huh.
Fester is holding a bunch of gifts and can't believe that he would have missed all of this. And he's like, what was I thinking of? And then Wednesday pipes up and says, physical pleasure. Damn it, Wednesday.
She's on point every time. Every time.
It was physical pleasure. Uh-huh. You are right.
Uh-huh.
Just then, Margaret and Cousin Ed come in for the party and introduce Fester to their new nanny. What is her name, Stephanie?
Dementia. And she looks just like Cousin Ed in a dress. She's also bald.
Yeah.
She's very death looking. Like, she looks like she's dead.
She looks like Fester.
She's like gray skin.
Yeah.
Dark, shadowy eyes.
Yeah.
Very frumpy with a weird dress. And she takes off her hat and she's bald also. And he is smitten by her. She loves dementia.
She's like, my name is Dementia. It means insanity. And he's like, my name is Fester. It means
rotting. Death or something like that.
Like, oh, it's a match made in heaven. There's always somebody for everybody.
Yeah, there is.
Gomed gives a toast to everybody as Pubert comes in.
Uh-huh.
Wednesday and Joel are outside on a bench.
And Joel is dressed like Gomez now.
He's
got hair all greased, got a little mustache. Got like a tuxedo on.
He asks her if she would ever get married. She says no.
Uh-huh.
Joel walks over to Debbie's grave and says that she was sick. And Wednesday says...
Did you see what's on her tombstone? It said, Debbie, whatever her last name was. And then it said, wife and psycho.
There's so many, like, little things in there.
Yeah, little, like, Easter eggs. It's so funny.
Wizza says that she wasn't sick. She was sloppy and proceeds to tell Joel that if she wanted to kill her husband, she wouldn't get caught.
No, because she would just scare him to death.
Right, which is odd.
Okay.
If that works. So as Joel leans over to lay some flowers on her grave, because he still has a little bit of heart, he gives her some well wishes and an arm comes up through the grave and grabs him. And that's the end of the movie.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So.
That's it.
I mean, there... It's been a while since I've watched this movie.
It was fun.
I have a different perspective about it
at
this point. Because there's a lot of, like, adult things in there.
100%. There were so many jokes that, like, I didn't even catch when I watched it, like, years ago.
Yes.
And then now I'm watching it and there's, like, you know, like, we were saying those one-liners are so flippin' funny.
I know.
So funny.
She's not right.
No. But also, she's not wrong.
I know. But bumps.
Do you want some random fun facts?
Of course.
I don't know if they're that great, but whatever. We'll see.
Okay.
Oh, I got this from IMDb, by the way.
Okay.
This movie is included among America's Film Institute's 2000 list of 500 movies nominated for the top. This is a lot of numbers in it. This doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
Wait a minute.
Included among the American Film Institute's 2000 list of 500 movies nominated for the top 100 funniest American movies. What?
Okay. Well, I think that's
Let's just say it's nominated for the top 100 funniest movies.
Well, so whoever submitted that, because I think normal people can submit it.
Why? There's so many different numbers in that sentence.
I don't know. But that's pretty good. I mean, they were funny.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Okay. While being brainwashed at camp, One of the films that Wednesday and Pugsley were made to watch was the musical Annie from 1982, directed by Angelica Houston's father, John Houston. That film featured Tim Curry, who I love Tim Curry, who played Gomez Adams in Adams Family Reunion in 1998.
Well, look at that.
Because the guy who played Gomez in this died like shortly after this movie came out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. This movie came out in 93 and he died in 94. But I think after the movie released, he died like a few months after the movie came out.
Interesting.
Isn't that sad?
That is very sad.
I hope
sad.
He got to see it because it was pretty funny and he was really good in it.
Yeah, he was. He's very suave.
Mm-hmm. His name is Raul Julio.
Raul Julio.
He was Gomez.
I like that name. Mm-hmm. Very strong name.
Oh, quite an actor name, right? The song that Gomez and Morticia danced the tango to while on the double date with Fester and Debbie is a rendition of the original Addams Family from 1964 theme song composed by the Hollywood film and TV composer Vic Mizzy.
I didn't even catch it.
I didn't either. I didn't even realize that. And I think that's all I got.
Okay, well, those were good.
I mean, it's fine.
It's fine.
Do you want to hear what we're watching next week? I think you're going to be mad.
Probably. I don't know why you're trying to make me mad.
I have no control over it. I'm not trying to make you mad.
Why haven't we had scary movies?
Okay, this one is ridiculous. Mm. And I think this is a Dustin pick because he's talked about this movie a couple times.
What is it?
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, God.
Is it from the 80s again?
I'm sure it is.
88.
And it's probably like 2 hours long.
Let me see. 128. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
What can you say about Killer Clowns, really?
Okay, just already the name of it sounds fucking ridiculous.
It's like Chopping Mall. Seriously.
Which this means this is going to have ridiculous graphics and stupid 80s music again. Oh, you're going to get so mad. I'm so excited. After this movie, things should get a little bit weird again.
Okay.
So you just got to sit through one more weird one.
Oh my gosh.
And then we're going to get back onto your bandwagon.
Okay, thank you.
Would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Yes, I would.
Aliens who look like clowns come from outer space and terrorize a small town.
Okay.
We're going to have to watch the trailer as soon as we're done recording. Oh my God. So excited to see your reaction.
I mean,
I don't know anything about this movie. I've heard of it because Dustin's talked about it before, but I know nothing about it.
I wonder what the clowns look like. I'm interested.
Probably stupid.
Probably.
Look at the fake noses and shit, too.
Yeah.
And the stupid, like, water flowers. I'm willing to that's happening. It's probably every cliche clown bullshit on these clowns.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Right?
Yeah, we're gonna find out. We're going to watch it.
Oh, man. Does this mean that, like, every, like, party clown is an alien?
Okay. And you almost said that with a straight face. You almost got it out with a straight face.
I just say things and I just...
Oh, man.
And I...
Oh man. Dang.
I just say things and just wait for your reaction.
I'm so glad I could be of help for you. Of entertainment.
You do. You provide me a lot of entertainment. All right, guys, couple reminders, tipsypod.com, just live there.
Yeah, get on there.
Everything is on there. And also our episodes get updated on there every week too. So if you missed it and you didn't get onto Spotify or Apple or anything like that, just go on our website. You can listen to our episodes from there too.
Yeah.
Super convenient.
I mean, especially for your work and you're allowed to do that.
Yeah. And if you don't want to put headphones in, just listen to the whole office can hear it. We're cool with that too.
Well.
Just be careful. We curse a lot. So be careful.
Because that's not going to stop.
Hell no.
No.
And then also, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yes.
You can potentially win a Funko Pop, and that sounds awesome. And if not, guys, we have ridiculous content on there anyway that will definitely entertain you. So it's worth it for nothing else.
And you know what? If you don't want to watch it, that's fine.
Let your office watch it too.
Have friends do it. I mean, if you want to, like, tell a friend about us, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. And the watch-alongs, we keep the cursing to a minimum. So it's more appropriate.
Do we?
I think it's better than our episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
But check it out.
Okay.
Check out all of our social media. Follow us. Subscribe everywhere. Rate, review. 5 stars.
Please.
And come back next week and we're going to talk about Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Fucking Killer Clowns. Here we go. You need a water noise with a flower squirting.
Stupid giant shoes. I know it's going to be cliche bullshit. I know it is. If it's an 80s movie, it's going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be Ronald McDonald in there.
Oh, God. That'd be weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
No.
He's like human.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
1 second. I think my mic is like slowly
it's drooping.
What is happening?
It's getting droopy. It's getting a little limp.
Is it a little flaccid?
I can't keep it erect over here. Okay, I think that's better.
Don't touch it.
Why? I have to make it erect. Okay, I think that's going to work. Okay, sorry.
As we start, and you should start going like this.
I'm sliding down my chair. Okay, sorry.
Crib mobile, 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 mobile.
Mobile?
Mobile? Mobile.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. To Gomez that, you know, it's like a sibling rivalry. She flirts with Lurch and Debbie. Who am I talking about?
Oh, Gomez. She flirts with Gomez.
Oh, why did I put Debbie?
I'm not sure.
Oh, she flirts with herself. She flirts with Lurch and...
Gomez. No, Gomez? Yeah, because she says to him, oh boy, you must be a lady killer. And he goes, never acquitted. He goes, acquitted. I have it in my notes. That's why I know she's flirting with him.
Okay. So Pugly shoots... Pugly. You Pugly.
Was that Nathan Lane?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh my God. You know who Nathan Lane is?
No.
I can't with you. I can't.
Is he the jeweler guy?
The jeweler?
Oh, that's Neil Lane. And the only reason I know that is because of the Bachelor Bachelorette.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's just move on.
Moving on. Oh, I think I do know Nathan Lane.
I mean, not that you know the Birdcage. He was in the Birdcage.
Yeah, no, but I think I know him. He was like one of the lead characters.
Oh, the producers. Him and Matthew Broderick. The producers.
Yeah.
I think that was him, right?
I think so.
Eventually. We had to just get there. I think it was him. It's
I don't know.
I'll IMDb it later.
We'll figure it out. She says that she wants to be Hocoponus. Damn it. Pocahontas.
He's in the kitchen. He's cooking God knows what.
Right.
And he's making dinner for them to celebrate whatever.
I still don't know what it is. I don't know what that loaf of... No.
It looked like a fucked up meatloaf.
It was a night like any other night. Then something happened.
You see that?
Something different.
It's no shooting star.
Why here? Why now? Why clowns? They've been knocking them dead all over the universe.
What are you gonna do? Knock my block off?
Soon they'll be doing it at a theater near you.
Killer clowns from outer space.
Maybe they're just cruising through the galaxy and stopped here for a bite to eat.
You don't need a police, pal. You need a psychiatrist.
Uh-oh.
They want to play games? They're messing with the wrong guy.
What are you in for?
Killer clowns from outer space. It's crazy.